You know, sometimes the best way to deal with serious subjects is to laugh about them. Comedian Trey Crowder uses humor to talk about politics and culture, and he's found a big following online. Trey calls himself the liberal redneck, and he seems to take a lot of pleasure in flouting some Southern stereotypes. He will perform in Georgia this week as part of the Well-Read Comedy Tour, along with fellow comics Corey Ryan Forrester and Drew Morgan. The three of them also have a new book out. It's called The Liberal Redneck Manifesto, Dragon Dixie Out of the Dark. And Trey Crowder joins me now. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, I mean, I have to start with saying you were right. You had said that people were not listening to people from the rural South or the middle of America. You said that they were dismissing them. And It sounds like that was true.
Yeah. You know, I don't take a whole lot of consolation in that, you know what I mean, personally. And I got to admit also, at the end of the day, I still didn't expect Trump to actually win. Like, I was worried about it, and I could tell people weren't, you know, they were underestimating his supporters or not taking them seriously or just didn't care to or whatever. And that I knew, that was concerning to me, but I still didn't think we'd actually do it. So, I mean, I was pretty stunned myself last Tuesday, to be honest with you.
But that's one of the things that you have talked about. Let's actually hear you speaking. This is from the show Real Time with Bill Maher, Friday night, and they were talking about the surprise election of Donald Trump. And you're explaining that most Americans don't understand rednecks.
It's really drove it home for me, being on the road this year and talking to people all over the country who have been great, but how much they fundamentally don't understand and don't care to understand so many of these people. And I feel like a lot of this is a backlash from those people against that.
What is it that the rest of the country is not understanding about the struggles of what you refer to as rednecks, people in rural areas?
Well, they don't care to understand about their, like, struggles or anything they're going through. They don't even think about those people as far as just the stereotypes of them and how ignorant and stupid and backward and racist they are or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, that's about as far as their thought process even goes when it comes to those people. They never get to the struggle. You know what I mean? It's just like, oh yeah, the South, where everyone is an inbred hick. Right. Got it. You know, who wants kombucha? You know, like, that's about as far as it goes with a lot of these people. And so they don't understand them because they don't try, and they have no interest in trying, you know?
So I want to play a clip from a video you posted back in June, and your videos online have gotten millions of hits. And this was you warning Democrats and progressives to take Donald Trump supporters more seriously. But it sounds as though you felt a little surprised or I guess unbelieving as well.
When I see poor voters come out in droves for this guy in places like my hometown, where the unemployment rate's been double digits for 20 years and you're considered a rich kid if your daddy carried the mail, it blows me away. So if you get complacent and sit your ass on the couch come November, then we're all going to be getting what you deserve. So you need to run that burn under a cold tap and saddle back up, baby, because we ain't out the woods yet.
Do you feel as though there are things you were surprised by in terms of the election results?
Yeah, and I said some of this on Real Time on Friday, too, and I was talking yesterday with Corey and Drew about it. Like, so I grew up in the rural South in a place that, you know, came out heavily for Donald Trump, and I've been to a lot of other places just like it, and, like, I know these people, and I'm so utterly confident that if you went back let's say like 4 or 5 years ago, because let's go back to before the whole birther thing when he started going after Obama, who they are not a fan of. But if you went back that far to before Donald Trump was involved in any kind of politics at all and just polled these people on just their general opinion of Donald Trump, because he has been famous for 30 years, you know, and asked them, what do you think about Donald Trump? It would have been overwhelmingly negative, because he's smug. He thinks he's better than everybody else. He's a rich silver spoon Yankee, right? I mean, like, nothing about him just as a man would appeal to these people. And so that's why it was surprising to me, the fact that he has been able to sell them or get them to buy what he's selling. And what that says to me is that they truly were desperate for somebody to believe in, or for somebody to even pretend to care about him, because he was the first one in forever to do that. And that shows me, again, how desperate a lot of these people were, because this is not a guy that was tailor-made for this audience, in my opinion. And I feel very, very confident in that.
My guest is comedian Trey Crowder. He performs stand-up tonight at the Georgia Theater in Athens and tomorrow night at Terminal West in Atlanta. The Atlanta performance is sold out, but Trey will sign copies of his new book tomorrow at 6 at the Georgia Tech Barnes & Noble. That book is called The Liberal Redneck Manifesto, Dragon Dixie Out of the Dark. Now, as I understand it, you have an MBA, right?
I do, yeah.
So
yeah,
how did
people find that out, and they're like, oh, that's neither liberal nor redneck. And I'm like, man, it was practical. I was trying to get out of the trailer. You know what I mean?
Well, but sure. My question is, how do you go from an MBA to becoming a stand-up comedian?
Well, like I said, the MBA, I mean, frankly, it was practical. Like, I always knew I wanted to be a comedian. I always knew I wanted to be an entertainer. But first and foremost, I had to get out of, my hometown and my situation, or what, I had no safety net at all. Like, there was nothing to fall back on, nobody to support me financially in that way or nothing like that. So the wisest course of action to me seemed to be to get a degree in which I could actually get a job and, you know, make money and pay the bills and whatever else while I pursued being a comedian. And I thought an MBA was, you know, the way to go as far as that goes. And that's pretty much, that was my entire reasoning for it.
It was your fallback?
Yeah. Yeah, basically.
And you haven't had to use it?
Well, no. I worked for 6 years out of college in a business setting while I've been moonlighting as a comedian that whole time. And I was only able to quit my day job as of this year, June of this year. I've been a full-time writer and comedian since then. But I worked with that, using my MBA for, 6 years before that.
Well, then let's talk a little bit about your videos, because that they are, like I said, they're in the millions of hits at this point. And you often are talking about stereotypes of the South, which seem to annoy you. Let's hear one. This is a video you made when there were billboards showing up that said "Make America White Again." That was, it seems to be not, they went up not too far from where you live. Here's your reaction.
Yeah.
American culture has improved dramatically since other races earned the right to make their presence known. I don't want to live in a country without trap music. F*** you, I'm trying to get turned. And I don't think women are going to start shaking their asses to Kenny G, so to hell with making America white again.
What do you think about stereotypes of the South? Do you think that, especially as campaign season, have they strengthened those stereotypes, or are we starting to break through them?
No. Well, yeah, the election, I think, it did not help that image for sure, which is a shame. But no, I don't appreciate a lot of the Southern stereotypes. I mean, I get it. They're there for a reason. I'm not going to act like they're not. Like most stereotypes, they exist for a reason. There's some truth to it. But I mean, I just think that they're not, like most stereotypes, they're not really fair. Because, like, for example, that we're all racist or whatever. Almost every city in this country is racist, or has, you know, elements of institutional racism. Where you go to any state in this country and you leave the city for, you know, 30 miles in whatever direction, you start seeing the same types of things, you know what I mean, in rural parts of the country, everywhere. But a lot of people act like it's just the South, and so that's what bothers me about it. Like, these are wholly Southern problems when they're not at all.
Do you have to change your act when you're going to a place in the South as opposed to going to New York?
No, I never have done that. And frankly, it's gotten a lot easier for me this year, because now people, they're coming to my shows, they know what they're getting when they walk through the door. You know what I mean? Like, they're coming to see us, you know? And so
you mean because they've seen your videos online?
Right. Yeah. So they're buying a ticket because they're fans already, which makes a huge difference. But even before that, I've been doing the same thing. Like, I've been doing my thing, if you will, on stage, mostly in the South for the past 6 years, and I've never really changed my act depending on where I was at. I mean, a little bit if I'm in a super, super redneck type bar show or something like that, there's one or two things I might not do, like about the Bible or something. But by and large, my act is what it's been, and I've done it all over the country. And I mean, honestly, as of now, we do even better in this. Our best shows, hands down, are in the South.
So we've got about a minute left, and I wonder if there were, as you became the so-called liberal redneck, were there awkward discussions with people that you knew growing up or family members?
Oh, yeah. Honestly, they mostly had to do with Jesus, because I'm not religious either. That's a big part of it, in fact. And those were what most of those discussions were about. Like, ain't you worried about your soul, man? Like, all that kind of stuff. People could not believe that I would say, that I would dare to say the things that I was saying, you know, for fear of being smoked or whatever. Like, but yeah, I definitely had a lot of those conversations over the years. But the people closest to me my whole life have always been pretty much in line with me in that way.
Yeah.
So it's honestly never been that big of a deal to me, frankly. Like, I've never, like, a lot of people tell us they feel like they're living in the closet in the South as closeted liberals or closeted atheists or whatever.
Yeah.
And I never felt that way,
well,
frankly.
You're definitely
luckily
not closeted, Dre Crowder.
No, you're right.
Comedian, co-author of the Liberal Redneck Manifesto, Dragon Dixie Out of the Dark. Sure, will be on stage tonight at the Georgia Theater in Athens and in Atlanta tomorrow to sign his new book at the Georgia Tech Barnes & Noble. The Atlanta show is sold out. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. It was a pleasure.